following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, here's the thing that happened about 11 years ago. I met this girl, and she was amazing. She's incredible. She's my wife. She's over here. Her name is Bethany. And I mean, I fell in love with her right away. But before, and a little time progressed, and before I could ask her to marry me, I had to go talk to the chief, right? The big man in charge, my father-in-law. And so I had to get the okay, the blessing from him. And so that was a little bit strenuous, but I did. I went it. I knew I should, and I did it. And he said yes. And then that sent me on a mission. I was on a safari to find the perfect ring. And so I did all my studying. And men, if I don't know if you did this when you were looking for that ring. Like, you become kind of like a diamond expert of some sort. It's like, I don't want to buy the wrong one. I don't want to get hosed on one. I want to know what I'm buying. So we do some research and we find out that there's four C's, right? Color, cut, carat, clarity. They didn't do it this service. The two other servers were like, tossed. None of you did it, so good job, y'all. That is one of the C's, right, men? Can I get an amen for that? The cost. Whoo! So I went on a search, and I looked, and I think I found the right one because I wanted to impress her. I wanted her to say yes, and I wanted her to be blessed. The other thing I did is I got a group of my friends together and I said, here's what I want to do. I want to go down to Newport Beach, right on the shore, and I want to set up an easy up tent with sides. And inside that easy up tent, I want to put a table and some chairs, and I'll let you see what it looked like. And some rose petals. And I want to do it right at sunset, so it's got to be perfect. And so we organized this thing. We kind of talked about it. We set some plans in motion. I will tell you that the lifeguard did come by before we got there and kind of said to my friends, hey, you can't do this on Newport Beach, like right on the shore. And then he shared with them what it was that we were doing. And the guy was like, okay, you can do it for a little bit. You can do it. And the other thing that was funny as I was doing this is as Beth and I are kind of approaching, kind of a little ways away, but we're approaching, all of a sudden I see the tent go flying down the beach because it was windy, and I'm like, oh, we got to stall. She had no idea what was going on at all, so we stalled a bit and it all worked out. But we put time and effort, and we thought about it. It was important that she would know how valuable she was to me. Now, here's the thing. All those things cost. You know, the ring costs money. Meeting her dad costs strenuous anxiety. Putting the plan together costs time. But here's the key. That moment, the moment that we set up, the moment she said yes, that moment was priceless. It's a moment that's going to be passed down to my kids and my kids' kids and maybe their kids' kids' kids, right? It's going to be a moment that will last forever. It is a priceless moment. We could try to assign a dollar figure to it, but the truth of the matter is that moment far surpasses whatever money or time I spent. And I think the truth is here, there are some things that you just can't put a price tag on. There are some things that you can't quantify, you can't assign a dollar figure to. And maybe some of you have experienced this with your friends and family before. Maybe there was a time when someone said, hey, you can't make rent. I want to pay for that for you. Maybe there was a time you didn't have a car and someone said, hey, you can have my car. Maybe there's a time when you're going through a really difficult time and someone just said, I will be there for you. And maybe it was a week and maybe it was a month, or maybe they were just there for that entire year and they were just there. Maybe there's a time when someone, you just needed someone to provide a meal, and somebody provided a meal. And we can assign dollar figures to all these things, to cars and to meals and whatever it is, rent. But the truth of the matter is the moment, the heart behind it, far surpasses the price dollar figure you could assign to it. It becomes really a priceless moment. This morning, I want to talk about a time in Scripture where we see a priceless gift given to Jesus. Here's why I know that it's priceless. We're in the year 2015, and we're going to talk about it this morning. It's that big. It was that important. It was that valuable. This amazing gift that was given to him. But before we do that, I want to set up our passage this morning. What we know about this is that Jesus has entered Jerusalem. And we know that he's come to die. We know that he's going to be giving his life soon. So he spent some time teaching and preparing. And we know that from the past couple weeks that we've studied through Matthew, that there's been some opposition against him. We know that he's talked about end times and what to look for as he prepares his guys. And this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 as we're going to kind of enter into our passage here this morning. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now, here's why this is important. Matthew is going to set the scene for this very significant, priceless gift. He's going to set it up. And the reason why this is important is that we have to know this. Jesus knows that he's going to die, which makes this gift all that more powerful, that much more amazing. And so Matthew writes in 26 two things. The first thing he's going to say is Jesus knew he was going to die. And the second thing is that others wanted him to die. And so we're going to look at that here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. And we're going to see, first of all, Jesus knew he was going to die. Look at verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, which if you look back over the last couple of chapters, it's all colored in red, right? He'd been talking a lot, preparing his guys. Look at verse 2. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Jesus knows he's going to die. And can I just point out to you how amazing it is God's ordained time for Jesus to die is around Passover? Why is that so significant? Well, because the Jews would gather all together in Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be packed full of people as they celebrate this thing called Passover, which, if you know this, God was in the business of redeeming people, and he had done it with his people in Egypt, right? The Jews celebrated this time when they were rescued out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they became God's anointed people. And the Jews would always remember that time that they were taken out of the burden of slavery. And here Jesus on Passover, get it? Jesus on Passover is saying, listen, I am that new rescuing that's going to go on. I am that new salvation. I am that new hope. And the Jews also would take this lamb, perfect lamb, unbroken lamb, and they would sacrifice it to the Lord. And Jesus, for us, is that perfect lamb, unbroken. And so significantly, Matthew says, listen, this is important for us to know in the context of what I'm about ready to share with you. Jesus knows he's going to die. God ordained this time for him to die right at Passover with immense significance. But Jesus wasn't the only one that knew that he was going to die. Look at this in verse 3. And this is an altogether different type of religious meeting. They weren't talking about like what color the carpet was going to be in the temple. Like this is a sad religious meeting. Look at verse 3. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Jesus wasn't the only one who knew he was going to die. These people, these religious leaders, they wanted him to die. They were going to figure out a way that this would be the end of Jesus' physical life. It's under this setting that we find this priceless gift that we're going to be talking about forever and ever, 2,000 years later and on. And we're going to find out that there are some things you just can't put a price tag on. There's some things that go supersede the value of money. I want you to see verse 6. Take a look at this amazing gift. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. John gives us a little bit more depth of insight in John 12, verse 3. He says that this wasn't just any woman. This was Mary, not Jesus' mother, but his friend. And that she not only anointed his head, but she goes all the way down to his feet and anoints his feet as well. And not only did she not stop there, she takes her hair and she wipes with her hair his feet, bowing down to him, anointing his feet with oil. And John says, not only did just a little smell come out, but the whole house was filled with the smell of this fragrance. What did Mary know? How come Mary did this? What was going through Mary's heart and her mind? Well, Mary had known that Jesus was something special because Jesus had recently just raised her brother from the dead, Lazarus. So that's pretty powerful. So Mary knows, hey, Jesus is something special. And maybe like no one else, Mary took to heart this idea that Jesus said, I'm going to be gone. I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. Mary somehow caught that. When all the other disciples standing there had the same information, they didn't change their response, but something changed in Mary's response. Her heart was broken. She came to him in devotion. Now, just how costly was this oil? The Bible says later on in John, he'll say it was 300 denarii. So what is that? How much is 300 denarii? Well, they say it's about a year's wage. A year's wage poured on Jesus' head and on his feet. In the story of the 5,000, and when Jesus feeds the 5,000, the disciples come to him. Jesus says, we're going to feed these people. And Jesus and the disciples come to him and they say, listen, Jesus, there's no way, because it would take 200 denarii to try to feed these 5,000 plus people. Whew. So what you're telling me, Jeff, is that she poured an alabaster flask of priceless oil that was worth equivalent to a year's wage and could have fed 5,000 plus people. That was valuable, priceless oil. I wonder what went through her head as she was about ready to do it. I'm in front of all these guys. These are his guys. These are his disciples. What? Maybe I shouldn't do that in front of them. What are they going to say when I pour this oil over his head? What am I going to do? I wonder if it was premeditated. Did she think about it? Oh, when Jesus comes into our home again, I'm going to anoint him with this oil. Or was it a last minute thing where she's like, oh, he's here. He shared this information. We don't have much time with him. I've got to do this. I'm sure she was questioning within herself. Oh, that's so valuable. This oil is so valuable. You know what I could do with this? You know what we could do with this as a ministry, as a person? Oh, maybe I'll just take a symbolic swipe of his head of oil. We don't need to use the whole jar, the whole flask. How about just a little bit, just a tiny bit, that's all. As she starts to pour the oil on his head, as she pours to anoint his head with oil, here's the question I have. What brought her to his feet? What caused her that moment to say, Jesus, you are so valuable. I'm going to take this. I'm going to anoint your head with this oil. But I can't stop there. I got to go to your feet. And she starts to anoint his feet with oil. Then what takes her to that next level where she says, I'm going to use my hair and I'm going to wipe your dirty feet. Jesus had dirty feet. He was a traveler. I'm going to wipe your dirty feet with my hair. What's going on inside that heart and that mind that goes from the head to the feet and to the washing with her hair? Here's what I think happened. While these disciples didn't get it, she got it. There's something that broke through into her heart. And we know Mary was faithful because there's other times in Scripture where we read, Martha was all over the place doing stuff, and where's Mary? Jesus' feet. There's something unique and special and sensitive about Mary. Now, I want you to see this. Matthew then uses the response of the disciples to tell us just how valuable that oil was, how crazy this would have been to do. What was she thinking? This was so irrational. What were you thinking, Mary? Listen to what the disciples say in verse 8. But when his disciples saw it is her pouring all this precious oil on Jesus' head and his feet, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. What are you thinking, woman? Why would you have done that? John again gives us more depth of insight. It says this in verse 4, John 12, verse 4. It says, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take money, take what was put into it. Mark 14:5 says about the disciples, and they criticized her sharply. All these guys had opinions about what Mary had just done. And I would just say, if it was us and we were there, we might have been the same way. This was not thought out. What were you thinking, Mary? What we could have done with this money that you, a year's wage that you just poured all over his head and his feet. Couldn't you have held just a little back, just a little, put a little bit on him? You didn't need to do the whole thing. Oh, there's got to be some discipline involved here. We got to figure out what we're going to do about you, Mary. Someone had to work hard to make that oil and get that oil, and a year's wage just wasted right there. I think we would take a little bit even more depth of look, and maybe the way we would have responded, the way I would have responded. So let's say you've been saving for a while, and every month you put a little bit away into an IRA or into a savings account. And let's say you get to the point where you have about $10,000, not a year's wage, but let's say $10,000 in that bank. And one day the Lord says to you, hey, Jeff, I want you to give it away. Certainly not me, Lord. Certainly not me. You must be getting this from somewhere else. I certainly question that. Lord, just know, Jeff, I want you to give it to that company that's building those oils, those water wells with for fresh water, for clean water. Lord, I want you to use it for that. Or I want you to support that missionary that's overseas. Or Jeff, I want you to give it to that family in the church that's really struggling right now. Jeff, I want you to give it away. Lord, no. No. Certainly not. Okay, $2,000, Lord. I'll give you $2,000. Jeff, I want you to give it all. No, just a little swipe on the head. Just a little oil. Don't use it all. You know what we could do with this? We could do so much more with this $10,000. And yet, there's the heart of Mary saying, I'm going to give it all. Jeff, I want you to give it all. I want you to be obedient. I want you to be faithful. I got to believe that was going through heart. And the men didn't get it. The guys, his disciples, they didn't see it. That's irrational and illogical. We could do something better with it. In that moment of surrender, in that moment that Mary submits to Jesus, in that moment of devotion, she is giving the priceless gift. Don't miss this. The oil is not the priceless gift. We all know how much it cost. It was 300 denarii. That is not the priceless gift. When I met Bethany, and I fell in love with her, and I went and found all those, the ring, and I organized all stuff, the priceless gift was not the ring. The priceless gift is the heart devoted to Jesus. My heart devoted to my wife. That's the priceless gift. We can put price tags on so many things, but the thing we can't put a price tag on is that devotion that we see in Mary as she pours the whole bottle on his head and says, I'm all yours. Because if she's willing to give a year's wage, if she's willing to suffer through the ridicule of these men who didn't get it, then she's willing to do anything for him. She's willing to do anything for Jesus. Have you ever thought it for a moment what sustained Jesus in those weeks leading up to where he knows he's going to die? He knows. He just told us this morning, I know how I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to have a friend who's actually here today who's going to backstab me, who's going to sell me out. I'm actually going to have another friend who's going to say, I don't know him. I was never with him. Jesus knows all this. He carries this burden upon his shoulders as he's walking towards his death. Have you ever thought what sustains him? No question, it's his relationship with the Father, that time that he spends with him, and his purpose and his goal and his focus is like, I know I have to get to that cross. It's not easy, but I know I have to go. But I can only think for a moment as he's sitting there at the table that day, and Mary says, I'm taking it all. I'm all in. I'm all yours. Whatever you say, that had to have been a blessing to Jesus' spirit. As she said, I am here. I'm in. I trust you. I'm devoted to you. Whatever happens from here out, I'm in. How amazing and how powerful that would have been, Mary's heart of devotion to him. I want you to see what Jesus does, what Jesus says to those guys that day. Look at verse 10. Incredible. But when Jesus was aware of it, it is the men talking to the women, to Mary, saying, come on, woman, come on. When he's aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? for she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Again, alluding to his death and what was to come. Now I want you to see 13. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached, the good news about what I'm about ready to do, in the whole world, what this woman, Mary, has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Not only was this a priceless act, it became a timeless act. That Jesus says, wherever this gospel, this truth, what I'm about ready to do on the cross for all of mankind because I love them deeply, wherever that's talked about, Mary will be talked about. Her act, her priceless act will be mentioned. Spurgeon says this, she probably didn't know all that her actions meant. And when she anointed her Lord for his burial, the consequences of the simplest action done for Christ may be much greater than we think. He goes on to say this, she thus showed that there was at least one heart in the world. Remember, the disciples kind of didn't get it. The religious leaders were trying to kill him, and people had already started turning their backs on Jesus. He says there was at least one heart in the world that thought nothing was too good for her Lord, and that the best of the very best ought to be given to him. Powerful. Now, here's the question for us this morning. How can we be like Mary and give God a priceless gift? How can we be like Mary and give God a priceless gift? Because what do you give to the God who's got everything, right? What do you give to the God who holds the power of the earth in his hand? He created heaven and earth. What do you give to the God who's the creator and the sustainer of life? What do you give to that God? It's an easy answer. You give him what he wants. You just give him what he wants. And I can tell you this with no shadow of a doubt, the very simply that what he wants is the same thing that Mary gave him. You give him what he sent his son to die on the cross for. We give him ourselves. We pour ourselves unto him. We say, Lord, if there is anything that I have kept from you, it's yours. I want to be like Mary that day who took a year's wage and dumped it on Jesus in an act of devotion and submission to him. I want to be Mary, like Mary, where I get down on my hands and my knees and I just serve him and I honor him. I even look silly in front of others at times, but I want that kind of devotion from my Lord. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. That's his heart. I'm guessing, and I'm fairly certain about this, it doesn't say anywhere in scripture, but I'm guessing Mary never looked back on that day and said, oh, I shouldn't have used the whole bottle. Oh, I should never have gotten down on my hands and knees in front of all those guys. I looked silly. I should never have taken my hair and just wiped it. Oh, what was I thinking? In fact, I believe quite the opposite. This was one of the most powerful moments in Mary's life. Life-changing. In fact, I would guess, after Jesus dies in a number of days, and he raises from the dead, and Mary thinks back to that moment. She was on her hands and knees and gave all. She probably thinks, I was right. I was right all along, and it was worth it. It was worth every drop of that oil. And my priceless act, my act of devotion to my Savior, because she knows it now, my Savior and my Lord was worth every minute and every second of what I did. And I would say the same thing is true for us this morning. We wouldn't ever look back on a moment. We're going to walk out here in a second and we're going to watch these people go under the waters. And maybe you're one of those people here this morning who would say, oh, yeah, I need to be devoted to my Lord. He asked me to be baptized. And he asked me to follow him. And I want to do that. And I want to honor him with my life. And then he asked me, he says, you know, be baptized. Walk with me. Surrender to me. Go under the waters and come back up anew. In a moment, we're going to see some people who've done that, and maybe you're that person. And I would encourage you, don't let the silliness of the moment, the idea that you have to get wet in your church clothes, or the idea that all these people are watching, don't let that stop you. Didn't stop Mary. Don't let it stop you. Instead, say it was worth it. And I would almost guarantee this. You'll never look back on this day that you got baptized, that you would say, oh, it wasn't worth it. Nothing happened. No big deal. Instead, I would guess that God would say, this is one of the most significant moments in all of your life. Let's pray. God, we love you. We desire a relationship with you. And sometimes we get in the way. And I love this idea that Mary didn't let anything get in the way. She didn't let the cost of oil, a significant cost, get in the way. She didn't allow these guys to get in the way. Instead, Lord, she gave it all. She surrendered it all unto you. And I want to be like Mary, Lord. And I want us as a church to be like Mary. And I would just say, Lord, if there's anything that's holding us back, anything that's got a grip on us, Lord, that we would today, this morning, surrender it to you. And I know that will look like baptism for some people here this morning. As they go under those waters and they come back up anew and afresh in you. So Lord, I pray that you would just be amongst us, be with us as we continue on this kind of celebration of sorts. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life